This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442 for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites, narcbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Last week I gave a sermon on the spirit of Sodom and how the spirit of whoredoms has almost literally possessed this nation, if not the whole world. And it brought up another thing that we really need to look to. And that is, this is the addicted society. Well, let's think about it. God made us to be, so we function best when we have a regular routine. So we were created to be habitual creatures. And God made us this way so we could be made in His image and develop the character of Christ, learn the laws of God, and so forth. Well, enter Satan. And of course, you know what happened there at the Garden of Eden. And now we come down to our society today, and let's look at it this way. Satan is more powerfully deceiving the world than ever before because he has every tool available for him to do so. We'll look at some of those in just a bit. So today we are deceived and self-deceived, driven by lust, driven by addiction, broken and shattered lives, controlled, influenced, or possessed, and ruled by Satan and his demons. And more, that's the way the world is. Reflected in the way that people live. Reflected in all of the media, especially television, movies, etc. And then we have tremendous addiction problems. We have alcohol addiction, drug addiction, porn addiction, sex addiction, food addiction. And you can throw in with the foods that people are hooked on junk foods. You know, they're junk food junkies. And then you have the control of television and movies, video games, music, witchcraft, lying, stealing, and all of those things. And today we have a generation that has been brought up that is not responsible, does not understand the word responsibility except in a very few rare cases. You can't depend on them to come to work on time. They get there when they're ready. And they work when they feel like it. And a lot of that is reflected in their lives. And a lot of it is because they are suffering from addiction and suffering from being cut off from God. Now, someone sent me a book as if I don't have enough. Now, this is an interesting book. And as I mentioned before, that God has many witnesses and many people calling to repentance. And God works in the ways that are true. People say, like Protestants, they won't listen to Sabbath keepers because, after all, we don't know anything. But they'll listen to one of their own. So this man, Mickey Bonner, he's written a book, Brokenness, the Forgotten Factor of Prayer, and How to Recover from False Religion in Protestantism, because they're getting more and more and more into it. And I want to focus especially on the addiction factor. And not only on alcohol and drugs, but on pornographic addiction to pornography online, there are probably 30 to 40 million people hooked online to pornography. They are addicted to it. Some of them spend hours a day watching it, men and women. And women get all mad when men watch pornography, but if it worked for women showing off their bodies on television and on the internet for a fee, men wouldn't be watching pornography. So to condemn men without condemning women is the wrong thing to do. Now here's what he writes on page 29. For many years, we have taught spiritual warfare in fundamentalist churches throughout the country. Many learned critics from the realms of academics and traditional church leadership have accused us of teaching foolishness. In spite of these criticisms, the church at large is now faced with the explosion of witchcraft and suicides among young people in the families of pastors and other Christians. And they actually have an addiction center for recovering pastors who are addicted to pornography. This has been brought on by rock music, the New Age movement, and of course, false teachings within churches, a lawless grace. Suddenly, the wise ones find themselves devoid of the ability to offer doctrinal help in these areas. Now, the church is being overcome and destroyed. It has lost its power to stand against what is happening. It is non-praying. Leaders blinded by unbrokenness, because the theme of it is in brokenness, that in order to return to God with such callous consciences, that they have to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart and truly seek God that way. So what is happening? The blind are leading the blind. Now let me read from page 208. Going gone. And we've said this before, didn't we? Based on what? Here, let's go to Matthew 13. We've gone here before, but we see this in action. We see it in action. Matthew 13. Now, as we're turning to Matthew 13, also put in your notes Jeremiah 23. We've gone there before. But what is interesting about Jeremiah 23 is this. God said, even the false prophets that he didn't send, who were teachers of Baalism, if they would cause his people to stand by his word, he would honor that. Because his word is exalted above his name. Now here in Matthew 13, and we're seeing this happen in a very profound way. Much more so the difference between the truth of what God's word is, and the reality of how the world is functioning, the gap is greater and greater and greater and greater because this principle, this living principle is happening. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 10. Matthew 13 and verse 10. And his disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now that's something we all need to really understand. We understand what we understand because of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and because of God's Spirit in us. And it's been given to us to know. To the world, it hasn't been given to them. Now, a perfect example. Last night on Fox News, I was watching the Brett Hume Show, but it was chaired by Tony Snow. And right at the end, about the last 3 minutes, there's a man who came on to tell him what you don't know about mythology. And of course, you know, anyway, one of the news commentators on Fox, his last name is Williams, I forget his first name, he wrote a book, The War Over Christmas. And because of the Happy Holiday controversy, they've been promoting Christmas and Merry Christmas and putting up Christmas scenes everywhere as much as they can. Now, I've got here a little cartoon, and it shows a woman buying a package in a store, and the clerk doesn't know how to treat the customers that come in because of the raging holiday controversy. And she's handing the lady the package, and she says, "Happy holidays," unless that phrase offends you. Of course, in which case, best wishes for the season, or merry winter weeks, or enjoy a festive end of the year revel, or felicities on whichever observance you may or may not be pausing to reflect upon within a familial, cultural, or sectarian milieu, or whatever. And the woman reaches out to take the package and says, "Merry Christmas to you." So back to Tony Snow and this fellow. And I don't think that Tony Snow was prepared for it, because all of those on Fox are good Catholics. See, it's owned by a good Catholic. Anyway, it's owned by Murdoch, and he's a high mucky muck in the Knights of Columbus and all of this sort of thing. So you can't work there unless you're a good Catholic. So they've been promoting all this Christmas. So here comes on this fellow to tell you about mythology you don't know about. And Tony Snow says, "Well, tell us about Christmas." Well, he said, "Well, Jesus wasn't born on this day." And you see, because what they've been saying is that Christmas is all about Christ and the birth of Christ. And even on the same program, he had Franklin Graham on there, and he's saying, "Well, it's all about the birth of Christ." So he comes on and says, "This has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. 25th of December has nothing to do with when Jesus was born. It was originally pagan." And then, "What else can you tell me?" See, he's trying to use up the 2 minutes, and then he starts on about Easter and how that's pagan and none of it's Christian. And poor old Tony Snow is sitting there, you know, swallowing, nearly choking. He can hardly wait until the 2 minutes is up so he can move on. But I thought it was interesting. Did God arrange that as a witness for all those gung-ho Christmas keepers, to give them a little witness that what they are upholding is a perversion of the truth of God married to a pagan custom? Just like this man here. He's a fundamental Protestant. So the Protestants will listen to him. So here's what he says to this generation. Future historians, if there be any, will look at what was once a Christian nation that died because the church lost its place by becoming involved in the business of doing things like the world did. The church became caught up in the busyness of propagation that brought to a dying planet a watered-down, compromising gospel that leavened its truth with error. Propagation became a religious foundation of sand. Very well put. Time has shown that many such churches are sinking. Some are already gone. These churches have traded activity for prayer and as well as compromise for conviction. They are now meeting the people where they are rather than where Christ is. Quite a statement. Consequently, one complete generation of young people has been lost to the value systems that have been coordinated by the demonic, calling evil good and good evil and having no use for God and his Christ. We now face the acceleration of the demise and disintegration of the world's first truly foundationally Christian nation. Its very beginning was a harvest of laws and rites for persons who sought God in deep brokenness and prayer. America was birthed by prayer and will die by religion, as have many nations in history. America's traditions began with the Holy God and ending with Mother Earth, or better said, New Age Wicca or witchcraft. The auctioneer, just like that, declares at the end of a sale, going, going, gone. So have our traditional values been going, and now are already gone. Not going, but gone, are the principles of righteousness. Not going, but are gone, the hope of glory. Quite a thing, isn't it? A very accurate description of where we are in this world. Now, let's continue on here and see how this fits in exactly with Matthew 13. Verse 12. Here's a living principle. For whoever has understanding, to him shall be given more. Now, what's the key to understanding? A good understanding have they who keep his commandments. Psalm 111 and verse 10. And he shall have an abundance. Why? Because as we grow in grace and knowledge, we learn more and more and more, don't we? That's why. See? And it all comes from God. Just like Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, these are not my words, but the words that the Father commanded me to speak. And the things that we learn and learn of the Bible and the understanding that we have does not come because of any great intelligence on our part, but because of the mercy and love and grace and kindness of God as we yield to him and are led by his Holy Spirit and keep his commandments. Now notice what else happens. But whoever does not have understanding, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. And that's exactly what's happening in the battle for Christmas now. What they thought they had that was Christian is being taken from them and being exposed for what it really is. For this reason, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. And I couldn't help but thinking of that when I was watching Tony Snow's face, because they had the split screen, showing the man bringing the things about mythology, and then Tony Snow's face over here, and he was kind of glum and swallowing and, you know, anxious for him to get over, because what he thought he had, this man was taking away from him by really bringing the truth of what it really was. I couldn't help but think of that. Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, in hearing you shall hear, and in no way understand. And in seeing you shall see, and in no way perceive. Now, why does God do this? Why does God do this? Let's read on. For the heart of this people has grown fat. Because this, if you want your way, that's exactly what God is going to give you. And when that happens, you're going to lose understanding, you're going to lose truth, you're going to lose conscience, and you will go into the depths of Satanism and addiction in any one of these things that I have mentioned here. So the question is we're going through this. What are you addicted to? And let's ask another question. What are the secret sins that you may have that nobody else really knows except you and God? And be guaranteed, sooner or later, someone else is going to know and find out, because you don't live in a vacuum, you see. Now, which category do you fit into? Growing in grace and knowledge and having understanding? Or do you fit into the other category? Having your own way. Their ears are dull of hearing, so if you bring up, well, you shouldn't do this, well, now you just don't understand. You've got to be broad-minded about this, you see. And their eyes, they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Woo! You mean Christ doesn't want people converted? You ever thought of that? It's exactly what he's saying, isn't it? He doesn't want them converted. We'll have to add at this time. Now that's almost the same thing, isn't it? When Adam and Eve sinned and were put out of the Garden of Eden, and what did God do? He closed the way to the tree of life so they couldn't be converted, right? And set cherubims at the east end of the Garden of Eden to preserve the way of the tree of life, right? And what was the sentence? If you want your way, you have it, but get out of here. And if you want your way, you are going to suffer in pain and agony and sweat of your brow, because dust you are and to dust you will return, and you will die because I've cut off salvation from you. That's pretty strong medicine, and people don't like to hear that because a lot of people think they are saved. But you don't know if you're really a Christian or not unless you compare it with the Bible, and if your behavior compares with it and you know that you have repented and been baptized and received God's Spirit, you know you're a true Christian. Otherwise, you are a fake Christian, or as the Greek says, pseudo. False Christian. Because you can't be addicted to these things and have very much of God's Spirit if you have any at all. This is to say nothing of, you know, used to make a great deal out of smoking. Oh, and let's add to this gambling. Now notice what happens if you really believe God in the truth. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard. So all of it is a gift of grace from God, isn't it? Now let's also come back to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and let's see why. Let's see why these things are happening. And these things go in cycles, because human beings are given to cycles, starting out fresh with zeal, just like the pilgrims did when they came to America, and now, as he brought out, we are right at the debauch of corruption. 2 Timothy 3. Know this also, that in the last time perilous times shall come. Now key that to 2 Chronicles 35 about Manasseh. And what happened when he gave all of Judah over to worshiping other gods and witchcraft and passing the children through the fire? It became criminal. Innocent blood was shed. So, that exemplifies the cycle. For men shall be lovers of self, and that's where all addiction comes. Lovers of money. braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, despisers of those who are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, there you have a perfect description of the whole world, don't you? Having an outward appearance of godliness, but denying the power of true godliness. Isn't that something? 80% plus Americans profess a belief in God. And as James said, don't think that's any big deal, folks. The demons do, and tremble. But notice, but as for you, turn away from all these, for from such as these come those who are worming their way into houses, gaining control over empty-headed women, given over to various sins, being driven by all kinds of lust. They are always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, just as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses in the same manner also, these are brazenly standing against the truth. They are men of depraved minds, reprobate in respect to the faith. Quite a thing, isn't it? Now come down here to verse 13. But wicked men and impostors shall become worse and worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. And there's where we are. That's how we have all of this. That's how these things come about. Now let's look at some of the addictions, especially sex addiction, which this whole nation is given over to a whole spirit of whoredoms. Let's come to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. And the reason I'm bringing this is because there are a good number who are in the church or who have been in the church who are currently deceiving themselves, who are hooked on porn, hooked on drugs, hooked on alcohol, destroying their marriages, destroying their lives. And they know better, but are unwilling to listen because they're caught up in the times. Verse 13. Jeremiah 6. For from the least of them to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. That's exactly what he wrote in his book here. And in doing so, all of these things are a step-by-step-by-step process to sear the conscience, to make it almost impossible to repent. So we'll talk about a little later how you recover from that. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand you in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. That's talking about God's way. And you shall find rest for your souls, because if there's any one thing an addict does not have, is rest and peace of mind. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet, disaster is coming. And they said, we won't listen. Therefore hear you, O nations, and know, O congregation that is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruits of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. That's to say nothing of pornography and things like that. Now let me read to you from the book, The Marketing of Evil. I gave you the name and the ISPN number last time. Very good here. Excellent. And as I asked last time, what occupies your mind? Because a lot of people may not be addicted to drugs or addicted to sex or to pornography, but a lot of people are addicted to music. And they, if you want to know if you're addicted or not concerning music, try this. Turn off the radio. Turn off the TV. See if you can think. Because most people have their minds occupied by other people's words and other people's ideas, which come straight from Satan the devil through music, right into your life and into your mind and into your heart. Now, let me read this. This was sent to me here. We learn how things go in your mind, because everything that you do is registered. And what did Jesus say? In the judgment day, we're going to what? Give account for what? Every idle word. That's why repentance is important, that can be wiped out and forgotten. But everything you learn, 1% you learn through taste. 1.5% through touch, unless you're blind, then you learn more. 3.5% through smell. 11% through hearing. 83% through sight. And people are glued to television, right? Try it with your kids. Turn off the TV, take away the cartoons, and sit down and see if you can carry on a little mini conversation with your kids. Now, the things we remember. 10% of what we read, 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, 50% of what we see and hear, 80% of what we say, and 90% of what we say as we do a thing. Very interesting, isn't it? Now, what happens when we come to church and we bring our Bibles? We open them up and we go from scripture to scripture. What is happening? You are seeing, you are hearing, you are reading, and you're understanding at the same time. Now, that's why Sabbath services become so very important. And I dare say this, none of us would survive very long without the Sabbath. Let me ask you a question. How many people who have given up the Sabbath have really survived? They haven't. They've gone back where? Into the world. And they don't want to be bothered, do they? Now this happens because they've been programmed. And we've seen it even happen within the church. It's called a paradigm shift. Have you heard that before? Yes. Oh, we got to get rid of the old paradigm. Well, God says, go back to the old paradigm there in Jeremiah 6. But people don't want that. Now, page 185 on the book in the section, The Media Matrix. Don't think for a minute that this dynamic of being programmed by others occurs only in far-off lands. It goes right here in the good old USA, in your state, in your town, perhaps in your home. Of course, most of us, particularly in America, the pressures are usually less obvious than they are for those living under horrendous isms like communism or radical Islamism, but the principles are exactly the same. Pick a behavior, say body piercing, or we could say tattooing. Do you really think millions of people independently arrived at the idea that it's a good thing to bore holes in multiple parts of the body? And I'm not talking about earrings. Or embed metal objects therein. Obviously, people do this because they see others doing it. Remember what I just read here. Yet somehow they still believe it's their own idea. No one likes to think he or she has a weak mind or is acting out of the suggestions of other people. So what do they say? It's my choice. I want to express my freedom. But here's the key point about being influenced and shaped by peer pressure. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit because the Bible talks about peer pressure. If you're unwilling to recognize that something is wrong with your program, with the way you think and act and feel, that means you're firmly in its grip. In other words, you're deceived. Self-deluded. But if you are more self-aware, if you're introspective and sincere enough to recognize that there's something wrong with the way you are living, then you can break out of the peer pressure matrix. And we'll talk about that a little later. How do you break out of addiction? God rewards honest people who are willing to give up the lie, no matter how painful that it is or how damaging to our pride. But since we all seem to have this part in our nature that is somehow more inclined to believe flattering con men than prophets telling us painful truths, it's essential that our nation's culture revolve around reality. However, we have a ready-made deceived reality. That's what true civilization is. A culture that affirms good is good and evil is evil as a mirror of sorts, helping each of us keep a firm grip on public and private morality. Then he quotes Isaiah 5:20, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light, light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Another four-letter acronym for that is ALCU. Indeed, this book is about how evil is packaged perfume to look good and good made to appear evil. Why, you wouldn't want to read the Bible? You must be nuts. Unfortunately, today's establishment press, the primary filter through which we must receive most of our information about the world, does not revolve about reality. As a matter of fact, over the past few decades, no institution has been more culpable in making evil appear good and good appear evil than the media. So we are in the age of evil. So what is your addiction? What do you need to overcome? Let's look at some of these things. Let's come back to the book of Proverbs now, okay? No, let's go to Deuteronomy 30. Because here's what God sets before everyone. You cannot change this proposition. Everyone has to choose. Everyone has to know what is right and wrong. No one is going to have an excuse. You know, Paul Harvey and Zig Ziglar made the comment concerning the Ten Commandments. When people say, well, they're hard to understand. Well, no. The Ten Commandments are very easy to understand, but people don't want to understand them because it infringes upon their sins and makes them uncomfortable and they don't want to change. See? God made it simple. Verse 11, let's begin here. Deuteronomy 30. Now, in reading this, I want you to think about how many Bibles are there in the world? Billions. Translated into how many languages? Probably pretty close to 500 by now. And the New Testament in over 1,800 languages, and the Book of Mark in probably 2,500 languages. So it's not hidden. And I dare say every home must have a Bible in it somewhere. So that means God made sure it was there. It's a witness against them, for them, and to them. If they don't read it, that's not God's fault. For this commandment which I command you this day is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who should go up for us to heaven and bring it down to us that we may hear it and do it? Just think of the billions that men would spend if that were the case. Oh, we got to go up and do it. No. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who should go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near unto you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. And this is telling you not that God's laws are in your heart and in your mouth, but the language that you speak is in your heart and in your mouth. And so if you read the word of God, you can hear it and do it. That's what it's saying here. So because of this, verse 15. See, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. That's before every human being. And everyone has to choose. Now, God wants you to choose the right thing. And we're also going to see the answer to addiction begins right here. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you to go to possess it. But if your heart turn away, and that's exactly what both of these men in both of these books are talking about, a national turning away, so that you will not hear. Wouldn't it be interesting if all of those advocates of Christmas on Fox News and elsewhere really understood about it? I wonder, since they say they want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, what, you know, do they really? Or do they really want the truth the way they view the truth and want to enforce upon other people? Yeah, Bill O'Reilly also had someone tell him about Christmas that it's pagan and Saturnalia and everything, and he just kind of flipped it off. You know, see. Now, do well not hear. That's important. See. But shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce to you this day, you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Now, as I mentioned before, I'll mention again, what is the leading cause of premature death today? drug addicts reaching the old age of between 40 and 55. Did they prolong their days? Think about all the teenagers that died when they got in the car and had their drunken graduation parties, etc. Did they prolong their days? No. You can add on many more here. Now, verse 19, to give the reality. Now, lots of times it's good to have a reality check, isn't it? Okay? Whether you believe God or not. Because everyone can do this. They can go outside and stand on terra firma, the earth, and they can look up and see the heavens. And every time you do, you affirm this verse, whether you agree with it or not. Well, let's fast forward this and turn it to the other side, please. Now, this next verse is a witness to everyone in the world. Because every human being in the world is on the earth, right? They know about the earth. They know about the world, don't they? And they can look up and see the sky and see the heavens, can't they? So God makes it simple. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. So you see, if you don't believe a man, if you don't believe the word of God, the heaven and the earth has already witnessed against you. Its very existence. And what did Jesus say of his words? He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So you can't run and hide. Where are you going to go? As long as you're on the earth or in the heavens, if you're shot out on a rocket, God is witnessing to you that he's creator, that he's given laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, and that he has commanded you to love him. And so, as we're going through this, I want you to ask the questions. What occupies my mind? And what am I addicted to? Any one of the things we have covered here? And then we will see the solution, what to do about it. Probably have to wait till the next sermon. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. Now, human nature is perverse. Because human nature is the carnal mind, is enmity against God, deceives itself. It wants to live in a state of sin and to receive all the blessings of God. Well, that's an impossibility. There is a deception in it that begins at first when you're sinning, which is this. There is pleasure in sin for a season. And then reality hits you. The circumstances around you hit you. I recall Dolores read an article of a man who was a cocaine addict. And he'd been to many different 12-step programs to overcome his addiction. But you see, all of those overcoming addiction programs do not work unless you choose to quit being addicted. And he just got out of the rehab center and was on his way to buy some cocaine. And reality struck him. And he remembered his kids, remembered his wife, turned his car around, went back home, and stopped everything from that instant on because he made up his mind and chose to do so. That's what God is telling us here. See, because what we're talking about is your own personal responsibility. You're responsible for your own life. Set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. What does God want you to do? But you have to choose. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed or your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cleave to Him. That's what God wants. Every blessing will come from God because of that, you see. And even eternal life. Now here's what most people don't realize. Everyone thinks that he or she, because of independent free choice that God has given him, that it's my choice to make and my life to live, that is true. However, you have this witness against you. See? Now God says, for He is your life. And the length of your days. What makes you keep breathing? Because God originally breathed into Adam the breath of life, didn't He? What makes you keep breathing? You hardly ever think about it, do you? How many thousands of times a day do you breathe? Hundreds of thousands of times a day. And figure your whole life long. Times that by 70 years, 80 years, you know, and even some people live up to be 120 maximum. But the only way you reach whatever age you reach is because you breathe. God put it in you, in your system, to do so. And it's automatic. It's involuntary. We're all breathing right now while we're listening and speaking, right? God gave that to you. You live and exist because of God. For He is your life and length of days. That you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Brethren, that's why we're here in good old USA. Because of the blessing of God. Isn't that something? Even the wicked, God does not take away the right to breathe. They may live shorter lives because of their sins. But God hasn't taken it away. So what all of this tells us is another thing, and we can sum it up this way. When we realize that Satan is the god of this world, we can sum it up this way. You're either under the authority of God, or you're under the authority of Satan. And a lot of people would like to choose the middle ground. But there is no middle ground. So as we go through this, ask yourself, what addiction am I hooked on? Is it alcohol?
Is it drugs? Is it pornography? Is it sex? Is it video games? Is it television? Is it music? Is it witchcraft? Is it fun and daring? Is it sports? What drives and motivates your life? And we'll see how we can look at it. So you're either under the authority of God or under the authority of Satan, because he's the god of this world. And as Paul wrote, there are spirits and principalities at work in high places, which sets the agenda for Satan's way. And you read Revelation 12:9, he's got the whole world deceived, right? The whole world. Now let's look at some things concerning how we think and how we act and how we behave. Let's come to Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Now in what we're covering, we have to go through some basic scriptures, but these are fundamental, aren't they? Proverbs 14 and verse 12. This is a scripture to learn and never, never forget. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Seems right? Natural good. Fun. Exciting. Thrilling. Exhilarating. Ends in death. Let's look at another proverb. We're going to spend some time in the book of Proverbs here, because the truth is, the book of Proverbs is perhaps the most important book for anyone who has led a criminal life, been addicted to whatever addiction, to get your life straightened around, because the only way you can recover is to understand there are absolute truths, right and wrong, good and evil. And the book of Proverbs tells you in simple, easy to understand terms. Now we obviously can't read the whole book of Proverbs. Let's come to Proverbs 23, verse 7. Very interesting verse. And as I read this, let's ask the question. Verse 7, Proverbs 23. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. What's in your heart? What occupies your mind? What are you addicted to? Who is your God? Where are you going? How are you going to end up? Now, especially if you are in the church and baptized and you have any of these problems, I tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are on dangerous ground. Now we'll cover on how you can get out of it, because God is there to help. But God is not going to help you unless you repent and understand the weaknesses that are involved. Now let's come back here to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. So whatever your addiction is, whatever your secret sins are, God knows. And he wants you to get rid of them. But you have to choose to get rid of them. You have to choose to want God's way. Verse 14. Now this is easy to understand. You know, this is not complicated. Because God wants us to live his way and wants us to avoid the evil. He tells us how. Verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And go not in the way of wicked men. Now that's the way of transgressing the laws of God, the commandments of God. Avoid it. Don't dabble in it. Pass not by it. In other words, don't go that way. Okay? Turn from it. Pass away. Because all the marketers of evil, the purveyors of evil, that want to ensnare you in satanic culture and drugs and addiction and sex and pornography and gambling and all the other addictions that I have mentioned, for they sleep not except they have done mischief. And that's exactly what David Kupelian brings out in the book, The Marketing of Evil. That they plan it. They plan the response. They plan the television. They plan the movies. All of these things are scripted for a response from you. Every ad you see or hear is scripted for a response. Every song, every word in those songs are scripted for a response. That's why they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They would lose sleep if they started losing numbers. And I tell every teenager, do not get involved in MTV. Do not enter into it. Don't turn on the channel. Don't go that way. Avoid it. Pass by it. Interesting. I was in Nob Hill the other night. I couldn't resist. Here's a mother exasperated with her teenage daughter gawking and looking at these women magazines. See? Now, when you go through the checkout counter, and I mentioned this before, every magazine is geared to women. To keep them deceived and locked into the way of the world and sin and divorce and promiscuity and envy and jealousy and lust. Now, I will have to give Nob Hill credit. They had at the bottom, almost could hardly see it, a picture of a man's magazine with a muscle man on the front. Only time I've ever seen it. And so here's this mother, and I looked at the teenage girl, and she was looking at these, and I said, hey, I said, you need to be careful. These things are designed to make you do wrong, to keep your mind on evil. And mother's sitting over there, nodding her head like this. And I said, you would do well not to pay any attention to them. And her mother's nodding her head, yes, 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 yes. See? Okay. Now here's their agenda, verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. To see how many people they can ensnare in it. To see how many teenage minds they can blow and corrupt. Do yourself a favor sometime. When high school gets out, go park the car and watch all of the sad teenagers pass by, hooked with their music blasting into their ears, talking on their cell phones to their friends, knowing that they're going home to a home devoid of mother and father because Satan has created a world where mother and father must work and they cannot do what they need to do to take care of the family, and the kids are left to their own and swamped and diluted into all kinds of evil, beginning with sex education in the third grade, maybe even kindergarten. So what do you suppose they're going to do when they get home? Caught, hooked, addicted. Notice verse 19. The way of the wicked is his darkness, and they know not at which they stumble. They have problems. They have difficulties. They don't know what to do. They can't find any answers. Their lives are wrecked. Their emotions are wrecked. They have given the most precious thing that they have in sin, their lives, their minds, and their bodies. They wonder what's wrong. Now let's come over here to Proverbs 1, because Proverbs 1 starts out and tells you how you can avoid this. Here's the very first thing. Very first thing. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, a lot of these are David's Proverbs that Solomon put out. But Solomon, as we have covered, is an example of going against everything that he taught. So why should we be surprised if people in the church become like people in the world? Solomon did, didn't he? And led the way. Now the Proverbs are to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive words of understanding. And of course that's what everyone wants, isn't it? To be smart, to be intelligent, to be wise. Justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple. In other words, to give you the thinking capacity to understand right and wrong, good and evil, blessing and cursing. To the young man, and we can put their young woman, to know knowledge and discretion. Now let's see if you're smart or not. Doesn't matter what your age is. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. Doesn't that sound an awful lot like Matthew 13 that we just read? Yes, indeed. See, what you need to understand is this. The Word of God agrees with itself over and over and over again. It doesn't contradict itself. To understand a proverb and the interpretation thereof, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Here's how you begin life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, what does that mean? That is to give you a conscience and a sense of right and wrong. It begins with the fear of the Lord. Now, we'll talk about this in a little bit more here. Hold your place here and come to Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, it doesn't matter what your IQ may say on an SAT test, because many wise men are fools when it comes to understanding God's way. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In other words, to understand the Word of God gives you understanding so you can live and cope in this world and not be drugged down, not in the way of a pun, that's not in the way of a pun, but to be dragged into things because you do not have the willpower to resist. So you have to have the willpower to resist, and the beginning of that willpower is the fear of the Lord. And everything that Satan does is to whittle away at your conscience, to drag you further and further and further and further down into the cesspool of sin to where you have no conscience at all that he's got you. Have you ever talked to a person who has no conscience? It's difficult indeed. Pitiful. Sorrowful. But the only way that they can come out of it is to begin to know right and wrong. Start at the beginning again. That's why it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I'll come back to chapter 1. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. What are you, a fool or wise? See? Notice how the Proverbs make it righteousness or sin, goodness or evil, all the way through. Now verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father. So this is how we know that this is from David to Solomon. And forsake not the law of your mother. What's the first thing that teenagers are known to do? Reject the instruction of their parents and rebel against them. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. And I know, and you know, and every person alive knows, that when you were a teenager and you got out on your own, that you did things that your mom and dad never knew about and you never told them. Hopefully, you've been able to repent of them. But you see, that's the pull of human nature. And the way that you overcome the pull of human nature is to understand that God gave you fathers and mothers to teach you the right way. Today, there are very few that teach the right way, for they themselves have been compromised in the generation preceding you. Now, here's what's going to happen. You want everything to go right in your life as a young person? And listen to the instruction of your father and the law of your mother. For they, verse 9, shall be an ornament of grace about your head and chains of decoration and honor, that's what it means, about your neck. And that means it's going to give you strength. It's going to give you the ability to say no. It's going to give you the ability to not get involved in transgressing the laws of God, to get involved in drugs or sex or music. Now then, let's talk about friends and peer pressure. Because all teenagers and young people have been made to believe through the educational system, through television, through movies, through everything else, that they have to conform to the teenagers. And have something made special for them. Because after all, we're different. And of course, your parents don't know what it's like to be a teen. Never thinking that, you know, their parents were young once. But you know, when you grow up in a family, you look at your father and mother, they're already grown up, right? You don't think of them as being little one time. So this is how Satan has divided it. Oh, don't listen to your parents, they're old-fashioned. We have new modern things. You need this, you need that, you need the other thing. Listen to this music, watch that video program. Get involved in this video game. And most video games are what? Almost pure Satanism and occultism. Oh, have your own cell phone so you can talk to your friends. Get your music blasted into your ear so Satan can totally occupy your mind all the time. And have friends that agree with you. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, consent not. It's your choice. Same way if you're an adult and you're addicted to pornography and you go online and turn it on, and you sneak around and don't let your wife know, don't let anyone else know, until your life is already captured and nearly destroyed. Same way with women. There are 30 million women hooked on porn. Online porn. Probably that many men or more. So we are dealing with close to a third of the population of America hooked on porn one way or the other. Then comes drugs. Then comes gambling. Then comes all of these other things. Okay. If they say, come with us, let's form a club. That goes clear up into adult life, doesn't it? Don't they have secret societies? Secret clubs? Yes. Let us lie in wait for blood. This is gang related. Do we have problems with gangs? Yes. Let us work privily for the innocent without cause. Do they have crimes in the cities based on that? Yes, indeed. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit, and we will find all precious substance. And we will fill our house with spoil. Cast in your lot among us, and let us all have one purse. Now in the good little old wonderful town of Hollister, California, they just recently broke up a crime ring. Organized by two adult women. And they had teenagers that would go out and in the daytime break into homes and steal things. Steal cars. Drive around and watch where a car is running. Let one of them out, jump in the car and drive away. Poof! Your car is gone. Go in a house and steal things. Then they had the audacity. They shouldn't have done this, because when they did this, they really got the people upset. They went into a house, and guess what they found? 6 Labrador blonde puppies worth hundreds of dollars. So they stole them. No, 10. 9. My wife read the article. That got them. Okay, well, my wife told me that they were worth between $500 to $900. They were still nursing from their mother, and they were about 5-6 weeks old. And that's how they got caught peddling this, and they went into the house, and they found the house full of all the stolen goods that the police in Hollister had been chasing down, all of these things for months. That's to say nothing of the other thing. There was even a gang shooting in Hollister. What does God say? Your choice. Peer pressure. Oh, you're a macho if you don't join us. Or like girls, and there are girl gangs and girl things too. Yes. My son, walk you not in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. Don't go with them. You have to ask the question. Are you willing to stand alone for the truth of God and to obey God than to go along with sinners because you need friends? And are they your friends if they lead you into sin? That's what you need to ask. And we live in a respectable neighborhood. Well, a respectable neighborhood today is no longer respectable. Lawrence told me this morning, I didn't hear it because I went to bed early, that there was a fist fight and possible shooting a couple blocks away from us and across the street in front of our house. Good thing I was asleep. So it's reaching down. You see, that's what we read there in Jeremiah 6, didn't we? Everyone is given over to evil. Amazing thing. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed innocent blood. Now that's quoted in Romans 3, right? Yes. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. So sooner or later it's going to come back on them after they have done evil to other people, of course. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain and takes away the life of the owners thereof. You can take and apply that to anything. And if you're involved in addiction, then you're involved in this way. So then he says, the rest of the chapter is really quite an important one, because God has not left this world without the knowledge of basic right and wrong. He's not calling the world, but he hasn't left them without the basic knowledge of right and wrong. Otherwise, God could not hold them accountable for their behavior, correct? Because where there is no law, there is no sin. But there is a law, therefore there is sin. So he says, wisdom cries out and utters her voice in the street. Cries in the chief place of the concourse, in the opening of the gate in the city, she utters her words. How long will you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Now that means stupid ones. Will you love stupidity? I think in the Greek it's idiotos. I don't know what it is in the Hebrew, but that's where we get the word idiot today, idiotos. Yeah, the Spanish Bible says that they are mocking what is right and thinking that nothing wrong will come upon them. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Now see, every time you do something wrong, you have a chance to change. You don't have to be hooked in it. Just like this cocaine addict was on his way to the man who sold it to him, the dealer, and finally dawned on him that he better quit. He turned and stopped. See, every time that evil comes along, you have a chance to turn and stop. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you and will make known my words unto you. So everybody has a chance. Verse 24, now if you don't, which is what this world is coming to, let me ask this. What are you going to do with your next chance to change and repent? What are you going to do the next time you want to take the drink? Or the next time you take a drug? or the next time you go into a casino, or you go to online porn, or to online gambling. What are you going to do? What are you going to do the next time you want to commit adultery with your neighbor's wife or husband? What are you going to do when all the kids want you to go with them? What is your choice? You see, when you reject God, you reject choice. You refuse truth. Then God says this, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel. You counted it as nothing. And would not have my reproof. You don't want any correction. You don't want anyone telling you what to do. And when you reach that point, when you reach the point that you have no conscience, you have no sense of right and wrong, you have no sense of good and evil, you have completely seared your conscience that you don't care for anyone but yourself and your addiction, and whatever it is that runs your life, whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are in between, all of those things are there. Verse 26. I will also laugh at your calamity. You're going to have a lot of trouble. And it's coming. Happens in the way of accidents, bankruptcy, lying, cheating, stealing, sexually transmitted disease, which there are probably over 100 different varieties. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you and you sit there and say, why? Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. And that's one place you never want to get in your life. That you have disregarded God so much and have scorned everything of God so badly that when you're in the deep pit of your troubles, God is not going to hear you because you won't repent. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and they chose not the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, that is, they would not have any of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, your life is going to come upon you the way you have laid it out. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, we'll have to continue on next time because there's an awful lot to cover. But the book of Proverbs gives you the foundation where you can begin to sort out right and wrong, good and evil, truth and knowledge and understanding and the way of God so you can get your life squared around. But you have to choose. And you have to choose God's way. The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2. Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney, 2001. Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, 2981. Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, Uyo, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa, Mbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willoro, W-I-L-R-O, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.